Let's turn our attention now to the weather forecast. Agrible and Nutrien Ag Solutions' Eric Snodgrass is here. Eric, thanks so much for being with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me again.
You know, here in our part of the world, Eric, we got a little rainfall yesterday afternoon. It wasn't too bad. I'm wondering how widespread it might have been, though, across the Midwest.
Yeah, it really was. We watched this lingering boundary that just kind of slid basically east to west across Ohio, Indiana, over into Illinois. And many of us were out here, like right where I live, just staring up at the sky saying, please come in. And as we're progressing so slowly, I even got my drone out and flew up there to see if they were anywhere near us, to see if they'd come over. And we didn't get much rain either. We actually got about 7/100ths of an inch of rain out of it here in Mahomet. And things are dry here. I just checked our 3-foot soil moisture profile. Now, this is a modeled value, but right around here in central Illinois, and this kind of is the same story from us up I-74 toward the Quad Cities. That whole region is sitting somewhere about 30-40% saturated. And that's pretty low, given what we had seen earlier in the year. Another dry spot is up in Indiana as well. So this is that rain was nice, but it was short-lived and a lot of it evaporated, and my yard doesn't look any different today than it did before. And really, you know, I imagine a lot of that rain had a hard time even getting through the canopy down to the soil anyway. So it was nice, but it wasn't what we needed to really end this near-term drought that we've been in.
Speaking of drought, what does the soil profile in the state look like?
Yeah, well, you've seen recently, probably in the U.S. Drought Monitor, that parts of Iowa, Illinois, and Indiana have expanded in their drought in what we call the D0 and D1 categories. But in addition to that, you know, just looking across that whole area I just mentioned, we do see, on average, about 30-50% saturated, and a lot of places slightly below that 30% number. Meanwhile, parts of the North Central Plains, parts of Minnesota and Wisconsin have made a huge recovery and have remained wet in some locations with a lot of thunderstorm activity. It's also been extremely wet through parts of Nebraska and eastern Kansas, western Missouri as of late. Some places there in parts of eastern Kansas have picked up well over 10 inches of rain just in the last couple of weeks alone. So it has been certainly a summertime pattern that's featured a big ridge over the southeast, and therefore we're getting these storm systems that weekly flow through Canada and then flow around that ridge. And so some people get the rain and some people don't, and that's been the name of the game for a while now.
Does that mean we'll get something from the Northwest in the future?
Well, we're watching the Pacific Northwest today. There's a pretty vigorous shortwave moving into the Pacific Northwest, and this has implications for the Corn Belt after it brings quite a bit, I think, of severe weather to Oregon, Idaho, getting into Montana, because that same wave is going to slide over toward the Corn Belt by the time we get into Monday and Tuesday. And now here's the thing we have to try to figure out. Do we keep the moist air in place such that we can use it to make some thunderstorms? And latest model runs with this system coming across keep North, South Dakota, Nebraska, parts of Iowa and Minnesota wet, and then this corridor that stretches from southern Wisconsin to about I-80 running straight east-west over to like Buffalo, New York. Now, the GFS model in the last 3 months has painted that stripe almost every single time with this wetter bias. I mean, places there getting well above an inch. And if you miss it, it looks like, then it's almost no rain at all. There's going to be some places that are in that dry sector we just talked about not getting anything. Well, this morning's European model wanted to take that same track and just imagine you bend the eastern edge of it south. In other words, take that heavy rain now along I-80, stretch it through northern Indiana and cut right down into Ohio. And that's a pretty substantial difference for the eastern Corn Belt. What I don't like is everything I've just said has been around I-80. So if you were listening to this in Illinois, that seems to be that the best chances of that rain are going to try to stay to our north at this point down here in central Illinois. And we desperately need more rainfall.
It is August. Will it be hot?
Yeah, that's the thing. Out ahead of this next system coming through, we will get our temperatures spiking temporarily. But once this system goes through, by the time we get to Tuesday, we're going to see the pattern across the United States split north-south. North hanging on to some near average to maybe at times slightly cooler than average temperatures, while the south is going to be baking. I mean, we've already got heat advisors out from Texas all the way up to Georgia today, and that's going to be the name of the game for them for quite some time. So high evapotranspiration rates down south where the heat is staying on and things are staying relatively dry.
Can you look a little further range and maybe talk about what's in the Atlantic or the Pacific Ocean?
Yeah, well, right now the Atlantic is really quiet, and that's great. I mean, that's great if you're not in Texas. I mean, I think Texas would love to have a little slow-moving hurricane, a Cat 1, come up and just do some rain. Nothing like, you know, producing big rains, but just something. They've been so dry. Well, I look all the way back over to the west coast of Africa, and I'll tell you, the next 10 days is very dry, dusty. It's also very suppressed convectively. Where it is not that way is over in the West Pacific, and that's a big monkey wrench in our forecast. We have two typhoons right now, one that just made landfall there on the east coast of China. It's heading toward Beijing. Some regions around Beijing may end up picking up 4 to maybe some heavily flooded areas, as much as 10 to 12 inches of rainfall, and that's just south of Beijing, where they have a lot of very productive farmland. Now, the problem is these two typhoons, if they go north and get sucked into the jet stream, we're going to have to watch them about 10 to 20 days from now, causing problems in North American weather. So I'm keeping a very close eye on those two typhoons and where they go, because if they affect the flow over Alaska, well, that affects the flow over us. So they are a wild card in the long-range forecast at this point.
Anything in Europe? They were dry early in the season and hot.
Yeah, and Western Europe has since then kind of cooled off a little bit, which has made a lot of those folks happy, but the damage is already done. In the next week or so, the storm track is through Northern Europe, so we're actually expecting quite a bit of rainfall that run through the British Isles and then through the northern parts of Europe into Scandinavia, and warm and dry in the south. But over near Ukraine, near the Black Sea, normal precipitation, but cooler than average weather continues. And I've been saying that now for that region for about a month. So they've had some cool weather to contend with while much of the rest of Western Europe was very, very hot.
And finally, anything in the long-range forecast for the fall?
Yeah, well, as we keep looking out, one of the things that I'm seeing here is that the rest of August does look to carry a warm bias for much of the United States. If any place shows up with a slight cool bias, it's going to be probably the Canadian prairies in the far northern part of the United States. So we're going to continue with the warmer spell. Now, the question for September gets tricky. I'll tell you what we're going to be watching together. In the Pacific, North Pacific, big warm blob of water and sea ice is relatively low. We still have a very, very weak, we'd also call this just a no signal coming out of El Nino in the El Nino region, which means we're going to have to watch tropical activity and we're going to have to watch Greenland and Alaska for blocking. So those things are too big of a wild card for me to pin them down right now. But I'll say this, whenever we've had that warm blob in the Pacific, it's often given us a favorable end to our growing season. Now, that's not a guarantee. It's not a slam dunk, but it's there. The longer range models, when they were released just earlier this week, though, did trend a little bit cooler for us for our September, October, November time frame. But when I say it trended a little cooler, it was to the tune of about a half degree. So this isn't something that I think is a strong signal in the models just yet.
Hey, thanks so much, Eric.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. That's Eric Snodgrass. He is with Agrible and Nutrien Ag Solutions.